A reading from the Song of Songs. Hark, my lover, here he comes, springing across the mountains, leaping across the hills. My lover is like a gazelle or a young stag. Here he stands behind our wall, gazing through the windows, peering through the lattice. My lover speaks. He says to me, "Arise, my beloved, my dove, my beautiful one, and come. For see, the winter is past. The rains are over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of pruning the vines has come. And the song of the dove is heard in our land. The fig tree puts forth its figs, and the vines in bloom give forth fragrance. Arise, my beloved, my beautiful one, and come. O my dove, in the cleft of the rock, in the secret recesses of the cliff, let me see you. Let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet, and you are lovely." The word of the Lord. Exalt, you just, in the Lord. Sing to him a new song. Give thanks to the Lord on the harp. With the ten-stringed lyre, chant his praises. Sing to him a new song. Pluck the strings skillfully with shouts of gladness. But the plan of the Lord stands forever, the design of his heart through all generations. Bless the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen for his own inheritance. Our soul waits for the Lord, who is our help and our shield. For in him our hearts rejoice, in his holy name we trust.
Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Lucam.
Mary set out in those days and traveled to the hill country in haste, to a town of Judah, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leaped in her womb. Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, "Most blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how does this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For at the moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled."
Verbum Domini.
On Gaudete Sunday, we heard the cry of the Baptist, the cry of the one in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. The Gospel of John says, a man named John was sent from God. He came for testimony, to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to testify to the light. Light is crucial in the Christian life. It's also crucial in our natural life. Without light, we can't see. Both natural light illumines us and also artificial light. Just imagine your life for just one whole day without light, without the light from the sun, without light from the stars, without light from lampposts, even this light, which is an incredible light. Imagine your life without light. You wouldn't get very far. You wouldn't be able to see. Without the mission of John the Baptist and his own words in fulfilling the prophet Isaiah saying, I am the voice of the one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. The Baptist is the one who cries out, make straight his paths, who prepares the way for the coming of the newborn Jesus and his evangelizing as mission when he was 33 years old. John knew who he was, and John knew who he was not. This is crucial in understanding the Baptist. He knew his identity. He knew who he was. On Tuesday, we heard the long genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. The important message here in the genealogy is God works through human history. All throughout human history, God is active. Even in brokenness and sin, there are sinful people and holy people and heroic people connected to the genealogy of Jesus, to his family line. Wicked men like Manasseh, who promoted idolatry to Baal, and Rahab, a prostitute from Jericho, and even King David, the murderer of Uriah, the Hittite, and King David, even a murderer, is an example of repentance. And it's possible to change. There's people in the Lord's genealogy that started out a little rough around the edges. They show us that it's possible to change, that it's possible to repent. So never give up on people that you love. It's possible with God's light and with patience. It's never too late. The genealogy shows us that the unfolding of God's plan throughout salvation history is important. It shows us that God is faithful to his promises. We are the ones who break promises. God doesn't break promises. God keeps his promises. He's a father who keeps his promises. Promises are broken all the time. And we know what happens when they're broken. It's not pretty. It's very painful, isn't it? Even when promises are broken with people that we love very much. But God enters into that reality of brokenness and despair. On Wednesday, we heard from the Gospel of St. Matthew about how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. Mary had conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. This child was not of the seed of man, but of God's initiative, the Lord's initiative. He moves. St. Matthew highlights that the role of St. Joseph's faith in the mystery of the Incarnation. The angel appeared to St. Joseph in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home. It is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they are to name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took his wife into his home. Joseph was obedient to the message of the angel. Obedience involves hearing and doing. Hearing, listening attentively to the voice of God, and acting on it. Thursday and Friday, and today's gospel, are through the lens of St. Luke. The focus is turned toward the parents of John the Baptist, Zechariah and Elizabeth. St. Luke says both were righteous in the eyes of God, observing all the commandments of the Lord blamelessly. And all these details are important in the Gospels. That's why the Gospel writers wrote them down. Every single last detail is important. The accounts from different Gospel writers give a more complete account of the events surrounding the Incarnation. The account of the Annunciation, we know of the details of the most significant moment in salvation history only from the lips of the Blessed Virgin Mary in St. Luke's Gospel. There's nobody else who would have been able to recount those details like the Mother of God, like the one who was there at that moment of the Annunciation. The moment when the angel came to her and said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." The moment of the birth of the Lord. Nobody would have been able to record those events. She told the gospel writers. She was the only one present when the angel came. St. Luke says, "Mary was greatly troubled at what was said and pondered what sort of greeting this might be." The visitation of the Blessed Virgin Mary to her cousin Elizabeth exemplifies Mary's missionary instinct to take the gospel to another person, this impulse to take what you receive that is good and give it away. Take it and visit another person. Immediately after the Annunciation, she traveled in haste to greet her cousin who the angel had revealed was with child, her cousin St. Elizabeth. The Blessed Virgin is the first to receive the Word made flesh, by believing, and the first to take the Word to another by evangelizing. And this makes her the first and the greatest disciple of the Lord, carrying Christ to others, bearing witness to what she's received. St. Ambrose, father and doctor of the church, recognized the immediate recognition of the visitation. Elizabeth and her unborn child recognized that God was dwelling in the womb of Mary. the unborn child, the one who you can't see from the outside, unless there's months involved. And at this point, Elizabeth was showing the unborn child in the womb, who in our day and age is in danger of death even. Elizabeth and her unborn child recognized immediately who was dwelling in the womb. Most blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how does this happen to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For at the moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled. Saint Bernard of Clairvaux called the event of the visitation the meeting place between the Old and the New Testaments. The antiphon today that we celebrate in these days leading up to Christmas is the O Oriens, O Rising Dawn. Christ is that rising dawn. Christ is the one who overcomes darkness. He is light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. He overcomes darkness, and he brings light to all dark places. The dark places in our lives he illumines with his radiance, with his light, with his splendor. He is the Son of Justice. There's almost no natural beauty that compares with the rising sun, when the sun rises every morning or sets. It's another beautiful sight. But when the sun rises in the morning, when the sun breaks the darkness, it's a beautiful natural phenomenon. It happens every morning, dispelling darkness. Every day this happens. I heard the story of a woman who was a light in darkness. A few years ago, Maria was widowed suddenly and left to raise children alone. In that Advent, she felt the weight of the loss, of losing a spouse. And one evening, her neighbor knocked at the door carrying groceries and a wrapped gift. And she said, "I noticed your lights were dim this season, and I thought I might come and help." This small act of kindness reminded Maria of God's love breaking through her sorrow. Her neighbor recognized that her light, even in her house, was dim, that she wasn't seen. Her neighbor recognized that she needed help. We all know people like this. We all know people that we can reach out to, that are in sorrow, that are in sadness. Our Lady's visitation today reminds us of that impulse to go and to bring the gospel to those in need, bringing the rising dawn, Christ in her womb, to her cousin, St. Elizabeth. You see, in salvation history, details matter. That's why I kind of went through the readings briefly throughout the week. Every single last detail in salvation history matters. Every single last person in the genealogy matters. And what does that mean, in essence? You matter. You matter. Every single last person on the face of the earth is members, in essence, of the family of God, because you've been brought into existence
and salvation is offered to you. In the gospel passages read this week, it's meant to weave like a tapestry to give a picture. And every string on that tapestry, every detail matters. Every person in salvation history matters. Jesus Christ is born to bring light into the world, to illumine the darkness, and let that radiance of his light illumine the darkness of your life.